Well, as Mark has alluded, it's coming a time on earth where danger and distress and despair and destruction and death are going to be the headlines each and every day. That time will dwarf the anguish of the two world wars. Of course, I didn't experience the two world wars, but I've read enough about it, seen enough footage to know to some degree, a small degree, don't presume to know what battle is like, but to know that it will be kids' play relative compared to the absolute anguish that the day, the year, the 7-year tribulation period will bring. You don't want to be a part of earth on that time. When God pours out his judgment. You see, you have God pouring out his judgment and Satan unleashed in an unfettered way, unprecedented way, to bring anguish on the lives of earth dwellers. If you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus, you won't be here, I'm convinced. If you don't, then this evening, we're going to look at what you can expect. An overview of the 7-year tribulation period. Because it's such a large quantity of material, chapters 6 through 19 in the book of Revelation, I wanted to give, excuse me, a big picture overview to not only share the what that happens in this largest section in this book, but the why it will take place. This evening, I hope that we'll gain an understanding of the big picture of the next many chapters, chapter 6 through 19 in the book of Revelation. Some of what I'm going to share is based upon, in fact, all of it's based upon, principles of interpretation, which I've laid out a number of times. And so I'm not going to revisit those and repeating them, because it would be the very same proofs, many of which I have given exhaustive, I think, treatment on about how we know how to interpret the book of Revelation. One of the most important principles is that chapters 4 through 22 are future. It hasn't happened yet. It hasn't started yet. Although we seem to be experiencing maybe some little indications, birth pangs, if you will, of that coming day. I hold to a futuristic interpretation as not only accurate, but it provides the most consistent interpretation of the book of Revelation. If you would, look at chapter 6, just a couple of verses to get us started in this overview. This tonight will not be a verse-by-verse exposition in any text in Revelation, but an overview of all of that 7-year period demonstrating why it will come to pass. And then, in the following weeks and months, we'll be working through chapters 6 through 19. Chapter 6 and verse 1. You remember, at the conclusion of chapter 5, the scroll to take over, to the title deed to the earth, given to the one who will cleanse it these next 7 years, the Lord Jesus. And in verse 1, it says, "And when I saw the Lamb..." I got a frog in. I taught Sunday school, preached this morning. Struggled with breathing this morning. I don't know what that was all about. Oh, I've got a mask on. Sang my heart out and finishing up tonight. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the living creatures. Now, did he hear the noise of thunder? No. What is that called? What's that phrase called? A simile. I heard as it were. It's as if. Now, John's in a vision. He's been given a vision of the future. And there are things that he's experiencing, many things. All of these things he's never heard before, and that he is trying to describe in his own vocabulary by the Spirit of God, as if it were thunder rattling, I heard the one of the four living creatures saying, come, or come up here, come on, come and see, and I saw. And it goes on to describe all the various aspects of the seal judgments. It's the beginning of the seven-year tribulation, and it becomes quite severe. So, what is the seven-year tribulation period? Well, it's a time of worldwide, catastrophic anguish of such intensity that only Noah's flood could be compared to it, since that visited also all of the world. It's the time prophesied, I've read over 50 times, specifically prophesied over 50 times in the Old Testament. It's called, quote, the day of calamity, the day of wrath, the day of the Lord's wrath, the day of Jacob's trouble, the day of the vengeance of our God, the time of trouble, and the day of the Lord. Jesus spoke to it, referenced it in Matthew 24 and verse 21, where it says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Now, let's take those words literally. Jesus says there is coming a time which shall be the greatest time of anguish and tribulation that the world has ever known up to that point and never after that point. Now, those who do not hold to a futuristic view of the book of Revelation would tell us that the events of the book of Revelation were fulfilled in the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Now, I ask you, what was involved in the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD? The city of Jerusalem, right? Was it worldwide? Was it of such a catastrophic nature that the world has never seen anything like it up to that point? Certainly not. It was a localized skirmish in comparison to what this verse is telling us. And so let's take it seriously. Not seriously, not to say that those who see it other way don't take it seriously. But the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD simply did not fulfill these descriptions. It didn't. This is a worldwide catastrophic event which will take place for 7 years, I believe. It is known, first of all, as Jacob's trouble. It's known as Jacob's trouble. Look at Jeremiah, if you would, right after Isaiah. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Jeremiah chapter 30. I'll never get used to pages of scripture not rustling. All of you generation X and all of the other things that go with it, you don't have real Bible. Oh, you have real Bibles. You don't have paper Bibles. You have digital Bibles, don't you? Show me your digital Bible. Yeah, lots of you do. Jeremiah 30, beginning in verse 1. Jacob's trouble. Jeremiah 30 and verse 1. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come. So, this is future, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Now, I ask you, in 70 AD, had that been fulfilled? Was Israel a nation? No. When did Israel become a nation? 1948. Roughly in our lifetime. And so it was fulfilled. It became, it was actually, they were returned to the land. I gave to their fathers, they shall possess it. Who possesses Palestine? Check that. Who possesses Canaan land now to the greatest degree? Israel. And that took place in 1948. And these are the words the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and of not of peace. Ask now, see whether a man doth travail with child. Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. In other words, during that day, the men are going to be, you know, just absolutely exhausted, broken down, beaten up, and all in that day. Alas, verse 7, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. Who is Jacob? Israel. It's time of Israel's trouble. But he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck and will burst thy bonds. Strangers shall no more enslave them, but they shall serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up unto them. And so there's coming a day known as Jacob's trouble, that they will be brought back into the land. Well, folks, if we see them in the land now, and we have not yet seen worldwide calamity, then that must mean that it's still coming, and that would fit the timetable just perfectly. You see, John 1 says that he came unto his own, Israel, and his own received him not. The Jews rejected Messiah at his first advent. The seven-year tribulation period is designed to cause Israel to have trouble so that they will long for Messiah to come and rescue them. And in fact, Zechariah says, they will look upon him whom they have pierced, and they will wail because of him when they see him coming with 10,000s of his saints. It's a time of Jacob's trouble. Secondly, it's known as the tribulation, or also the great tribulation. It's a seven-year period divided equally into two 42-month or three-and-a-half-year periods. And we're told in Revelation 12 and verse 6, the woman fled into the wilderness, where she hath a place prepared to God that they should feed her there 1,260 days. 1,260 days, you can calculate it by a 30-day month, as 3.5 years. It's a consistent time period that's given in a literal sense, and it is known as the tribulation the first 3.5 years, and then the great tribulation. And we're going to get into great specificity in the coming weeks and months on this, but this is just a quick overview of all of this. So it's known as the great tribulation. It's also known, and you've heard this, as Daniel's 70th week. If you would look just before, check that, just after Ezekiel, at the prophet Daniel, the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Now, this is key to understanding that, and it's not easy. Daniel 9 and verse 20. And while I was yet speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God, yea, while I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in a vision at the beginning, which caused me to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. That is the evening time of prayer and the like. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I'm now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplication, at the commandment came forth, and I am now come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Okay, so Gabriel is saying to Daniel, you've been in prayer. I've been commissioned to bring you this prophetic word. And here's the prophetic word. Verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. Who are his people? Israel. How many weeks? 70. Now here's the key, folks. In this verse, in verse 24, this word week is literally the unit for seven in Hebrew. It would be like us saying a dozen for what number? 12. They would say a week. Go down and get a week of eggs. That would be, you get seven of them. So it's the number for seven. And so literally Daniel's prophecy was for 70 sevens. Y'all with me now? So it says 70 weeks, 70 sevens have been determined or ordained for thy people upon thy holy city to finish the transgression. I'll get into this detail in a minute. And to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore, now here's the timeline. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to rebuild Jerusalem unto Messiah, the prince, shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. Now, how long is 7 weeks and 62 weeks? 69 weeks. So 69 sevens are going to take place before, notice, after the 62 weeks. First there's the seven, then there's the 62, shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince shall come and shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood, and unto the end of the war. Desolations are determined. And so walk through that very carefully. The completion of the 70 weeks of years is going to usher in the kingdom age. But before then, the worldwide rebellion against God is going to take place, finish the transgression. It's going to make an end of sins. The general immorality, dishonesty, hatred is going to be done during the kingdom age. To make reconciliation for iniquity, it's difficult because we know the work of Christ is complete. Therefore, it might mean that those who enter the kingdom age, who are then born, are reconciled to God. It very well could mean that during that time. And then to bring in everlasting righteousness has an obvious meaning in all. But the timeline is this, that when the commandment comes to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until cutting off of Messiah is 69 sevens. How much is 69 times 7? 483 years. Now do the math. When was the commandment given in the book of Nehemiah to restore and rebuild Jerusalem? Around the mid 400s BC. 444, 446, somewhere in there. When was Messiah cut off? That is, when did his life end? Earthly speaking, 32, 34, 36 AD. And so if you follow 483 years from the time the commandment came until he was cut off, you'll find 69 weeks of years. Y'all follow that timeline? There has been massive study done on this very issue, Daniel's 70 weeks of Daniel. And those first 69 weeks were complete. But the text says 70 weeks have been ordained for your people. Well, they weren't a people during that time until the very end when they are then regathered and the 70th week takes place. I don't know if I did a very good job of explaining that. The fact of the matter is there is a 70th week. There's a period of seven which is still to be fulfilled when everlasting righteousness will then be ushered in. I don't see everlasting righteousness on the horizon, at least not for another 7 years, because it's going to take 7 years of cleansing of the earth for that to come to pass. So it's known as Daniel's 70th week. You can spend a lifetime on this very subject. There have been those who have. Larry, what's the name of that book of that guy who did that extensive research on Daniel's 70th week? You remember? It wasn't McLean. Was it McLean?
Yeah, Greatness of the Kingdom.
What is it called?
A.J. McLean, Greatness of the Kingdom.
Greatness of the Kingdom. Yeah, McLean is the last name. I have the book in my office. I didn't look ahead of time. I just couldn't remember off the top of my head. Okay. That's it. Alva McLean. A-L-V-A McLean. Uh-huh. MCCLAI, and has done extensive work on this very subject. I'm just barely touching it, but you can follow the timeline. It is so interesting. It will greatly increase your faith because you'll see the specific timeline that was given by Gabriel from God to Daniel came to pass exactly. That is, through the 69 weeks. The 70th week is still out there. When will the seven-year tribulation begin? Well, I'm convinced that we're in the time of the Gentiles right now, and Romans 11 says that one of these days, Israel is going to be saved. They're now on the back burner, but not forever. There's going to be a day for Israel. Now, Isaiah 2, 3 and 4, tell us about this. And it certainly is not being experienced now, and nor has it ever been experienced. Do I have that up there? I don't have, I didn't put that in my notes. Let me read this to you. This is Isaiah 2, verses 3 and 4. And many shall go and say, come ye, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations and shall rebuke many people. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Have we ever seen that in the history of man? No. There's always been skirmishes, to say the least. There's always been wars everywhere. Throughout the world, there's some kind of a major geopolitical conflict going on all the time. There's coming a day when none of that will be present because he will be ruling and reigning. It hasn't happened yet. It's still future. It's described in the book of Revelation. The preparatory time for that kingdom, which is coming, chapter 20. But before that is the seven-year time of, if you will, cleansing the earth. Mankind continues to live out his depravity to the greatest degree. In Daniel 9, if you're still there, verses 26 and 27, it says that one day a ruler is going to come, and he will establish a peace agreement with Israel. Notice in verse 26 to 27 that, and the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end of it shall be with a flood until the end of the war. Desolations are determined. And he, that is the prince of the world, Satan, the Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. How long is that? For 7 years. And in the midst of the week, presumably 3.5 years in, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he'll make it desolate, even until the consummation, that is, even until the end, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. What that's saying is, there's coming a week, a final week, in those 70 weeks that I've given you, Gabriel's telling Daniel. 69 weeks will be till the time of the cutting off of Messiah. The 70th week, those 7 years, will be broken into half. 3.5 years, relative peace geopolitically, because the Antichrist is ruling and reigning. In the midst of that, he's going to go into the temple, and he's going to say, I am God, 2 Thessalonians tells us. And forbid any type of allegiance other than to himself. We'll get into much or all of that in the coming weeks and months. Who then will experience the seven-year tribulation? Well, all earth dwellers, everyone who is left on the earth, because the church is raptured, snatched away in chapter 4 and verse 1, demonstrated that in great detail. I think I gave you 26 points demonstrating the reality of the rapture of the church in that message many, many weeks ago. You can review it. And so who will be left are those who don't know the Lord. Therefore, the Spirit of God is not inhabiting believers because believers are gone. That is initially, till folks start getting saved. And so during that time, believers, that is the church, will be resting in ecstasy, if you will, in bliss. Because Revelation 3:10 says he'll keep you from the hour. You say, well, that has to do with that particular church. Look at Revelation 3:10, if you would, if you're not convinced yet. Because you've kept the word, and clearly it is speaking to the church at Philadelphia. But notice how the interpretation expands. Because you have kept the word of my patience. In other words, you have been faithful. You have persevered. You're genuine. You're the real article. I will keep thee from, out of, the hour of temptation, notice, which shall come upon all the world to try them who dwell on the earth. Now, has there been any persecution, spiritual, due to the faithfulness of believers that has, up to this point, that has come upon all the world and tried all those who dwell on the earth? I would argue that no, that is not the case. That has not happened. The church will be kept from that because we'll be in the presence of the Lord. We're not earth dwellers. And that's as much evidence as anything. We are not earth dwellers. We're just passing through. For our conversation, our citizenship is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 Thessalonians 4 talks about that. Shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. He can do it. He's powerful enough to do it. And he'll change your mortal body. And that's exactly what 1 Corinthians 15, 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the last trump. For this mortal must put on immortality, and so shall we ever be with the Lord, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17 tells us. So believers are in the presence of the Lord, but unbelievers, not to be cute, will be wrenching in agony, because I'm not frivolous or trivial about this at all. This will be horrific. Verse after verse speaks of massive numbers of people. Look, just look at the multiplied hundreds of millions of people, billions of people who will be killed during this time. Look at chapter 6 and verse 6. And I heard in the midst of the four living creatures said, a measure of wheat for a penny, a denarius, three measures of barley for a denarius. See thou hurt not the oil and the wine. We'll get into that. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth creature say, come and see. Let's see. And verse 8, I looked and behold a pale horse. His name was called Death, and hell followed him, and power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword. So to kill 25% of the world population, seemingly in a moment, in a very short period of time. Look at chapter 8 and verse 8. Chapter 8 and verse 8. And verse 9. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And so you have 33% of all water-going vessels are destroyed in a moment. Again, hundreds of thousands of lives. And then those who die as a result of the famine and the disease and all that. Point I'm making is, folks, the world has never seen anything such as this. And in the course of 7 years, billions of dead bodies and just shipwreck. The world will be shipwrecked. Are you in the ark when this judgment comes? And, of course, the ark is Christ. He alone is the place of safety. So, again. The only bullet point, the only action item here is, are you in him? Are you saved? Are you safe? And if not, has the Lord burdened your heart at all about that? I tell you, I came to know the Lord 43 and a half years ago through this message, through this type of message. The 7-year tribulation period is coming. If you hold to this particular, it's coming whether you hold to this view or not, frankly. Now that I think about it. And we must be fervently sharing the message that judgment is coming, but Jesus saves for those who will turn to him. Lord, I'm thankful for your word. Don't pretend to have treated this overview eloquently, but you'll use it in our lives because your word does not return void in its truth. And so cause our hearts to be deeply burdened. Lord, may I not be cavalier. May I not be comfortable with the assurance of my salvation and undisturbed by others who do not have, and in fact, they're walking blindly. They're running blindly right into the face of the storm. Worldwide, catastrophic, cataclysmic judgment with Satan being given great freedom to destroy lives. And Lord, you're doing this. You've ordained this for those earth dwellers who reject you. And Lord, I don't even know what to think about and how to understand so many of the implications in this. But I know that you know, and I'm comforted by that. A lot of things we can't answer, but we're given enough information, enough truth to make a difference in our lives. To follow the command, be you holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. To share you with a lost and dying world. To worship you. To walk in a spirit of gratefulness, humility, dependence on you all our days. So Lord, would you work that in and through the lives of your people here so that ultimately you'll be praised all our days. Your name. Amen.